It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
Yes, me.
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members.
KJ,
yeah, he put this thing together. That might be the reason that it falls apart. Cancel from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer,
justice,
that's a
fact.
Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike.
And this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of them Late Nights and them Wet Wipes. You know who this is, you know who I be. I'm one of your co-hosts, Michael Akadiri. And to my left, it's normally the far left, but to my left, I'm joined by the esteemed...
Arsie Bill Payer's permission, who's that? That's me. Me is Darren G. G.
G, 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 G.
G, you Griffiths.
once again, Kazeem Jamal is not here. He's had some family emergencies to attend to, so hopefully that's all good on that end. But we got some news, people.
Mm-hmm.
We got some news. Drum roll. This will be the penultimate episode of this podcast. Man, I didn't think I'd be saying that anytime soon.
No.
I didn't plan to be saying any of this anytime soon, but things happen, life happens. We're all three comics, we're all three fathers, we're all three family men, and sometimes life be lifing.
Yeah.
Life be lifing, and you know, to run the podcast has been an honor, has been a joy, but sometimes life gets on top and sometimes you may have to take a step back from your it's work or extracurricular activities, depends how you want to spin it, to make sure that more prominent things in life can be taken care of. And then in the future, who knows the future? But yeah, we wanted to keep the podcast running, but it wouldn't have been in the same capacity. It wouldn't have been right. I don't think it would have been right.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I said, doesn't feel like it's the end.
Well, yeah, because there's no commotion.
Yeah, there's no commotion. There's no beef. There's nothing. It's just...
It's not like, oh, he ran off with money or he did a madness behind my back. He didn't tell me about this. There's none of that.
I will never be in the same room as that guy.
Yeah, it's not no like...
It's not that.
Some 50 Cent lifetime war beef.
No, it's one of them ones. It's like, it feels a bit like Destiny's Child where they...
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
So, you know, this pod could come back in a...
A little reunion.
Yeah.
A little reunion tour.
In a year's time, 2 years' time, in a different shape. But yeah, for now it is.
Yeah, for now, bye-bye. But we didn't want to just sort of drop that on you at the end and be like, by the way, see you later. Peace out, A-Town down. So we thought we'll at least announce that this is the penultimate episode. So you can, you know, get your tissues out, wipe away your tears, deal with all of that. But we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun in these last two episodes before we pull the curtains on the late night and wet wipe podcast. Going to miss it. But how's parenting been for you, Darren, the last sort of few weeks since we...
Yeah, it's been all right. Kiddie's just... kidding. I mean, I feel like Xavi's taken some like kind of leaps, like developmental.
Oh,
leaps.
Nice.
Talking more, understanding more. Just whereas before, like for example, in the morning, because he wakes up earlier than everyone else, so I go downstairs with him sometimes, and I think they have any nappies downstairs, and he's like mook, and I was like, okay. I was like, right, you sit here, and I'm going to go upstairs, get you a nappy, and then I'll make your milk after.
Mm.
And before, before this, like, well, what should I say? He did that. He literally, I went upstairs. He was sat in the exact same spot.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like,
You followed the instructions.
Yeah, I looked at him and I went, milk? And he's like, yeah, yeah, okay. So now I got him milk. Whereas up until that point, what would have happened is when I said I'm going upstairs, he would have just followed me upstairs. he would just come upstairs with me and just like, no. Like, even the other day, I had to work from home, like just for the afternoon. And so now me and Zadie were out. So it was just me and him. And I was in the meeting. I was thinking, this can be a nightmare. He's just been just all on my lap. What, and stuff.
BBC News sort of vibe.
Just touching the thing. And before Naomi left, she just gave him some snacks, sat him down on the sofa and put on, like, I don't know, something like CBeebies.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, nah, as soon as she closes that door,
he's off.
That living room door is flying open. But he was there for so long that I was like, okay, then turn camera off.
No, let me go check on you. That's always the way. Stay away, but in fact, let me go check on you.
Is he all right? I just put my head around the door. He's just sat there on the sofa, just with his little hand in his snacks. Just...
Hey, man. No bills.
I was like, okay.
Hey, right. He's living a good life.
And he only came out when he's like, Chris.
He wasn't trying to offer you some more.
No, he wants more. He doesn't offer you. Yeah. So it's that little things like that. It's like, it's nice. It's you know, swimming. So I don't take Zadie swimming anymore. She goes swimming on a different day, which is a bit. Listen to this irony. You know, typical, don't know what you've got to sleep is God type thing of, I find swimming such a burden. It's like, it's long because I have to get into the pool with them.
Really?
So I have to get, what, as in,
you find it long. What about it?
No, I think what it is because what it was, I had both, so Zadie, I'll take Zadie swimming, her class was at 11.
Okay.
Finish at 11:30. Yeah. I'd get a change and stuff. Then I'd be sat around in like wet shorts, waiting for Naomi and Zavi to come, and then I'll take Zavi swimming at 12.
I get you. So you got a sort of 20-minute window where you're just
sat there on the side of the pool, just like, yeah, just wet.
Kind of cold.
Zadie's all wrapped up, warm, eating snacks. And especially like through the winter months as well.
I fool you.
And then Zadie was great because she was like learning to swim, she was like enjoying it and stuff. And Zavi was like, it was his nap time, so he's just coming just in a bad mood.
He didn't want to be there.
So it wasn't even fun. And I was like, oh, this is just slog. It's slog. Then Naomi's like, oh, they're not pushing her enough. Like, she's not, like, her peers, they're in the pool by themselves.
Okay.
Like, just with the instructor. Like, she actually learned how to swim. So found a new class. So then she's...
What, in the same swimming centre?
No, a different one. This is one that we wanted to go to anyway. Like, this, it's like part of that Swim England, and it's a whole programme and stuff.
There's levels to swim group?
Yeah.
This is the problem. I'm just happy to be in a swim class. So I'm not looking at the league tables or there's levels to this or the reviews. I'm just like, there's a swim class, it's local, I'm there.
There's like a framework for swimming. So there's an aim to actually have your kid swimming independently, know how to do front crawl, breaststroke, back. So at the kids thing, it's like, most of them are part of it. So, because I literally found a certificate of Zadie's, I didn't even know she had it. It was like Ducklands and it's Swim England. I was like, oh shit, it was a part of it then.
Yeah.
But, so it's part of that framework. So, so some of her friends, they're doing the swimming by themselves, as well as the instructor, and like teaching them more independence in the pool. So all the classes we've been doing before is more like water confidence, just being confident in the water.
Yeah.
Now it's now water kind of independence, how to be in the pool by yourself. So she started doing it on a Friday, but we've paid up for the full term on Saturday. She was doing the Saturday as well.
Yeah.
Then she started going in the pool by herself on the Saturdays. We've paid for this other one now, and I was in the pool by herself. And then... Now she stopped going. She doesn't want to go to both. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I don't do anything with Zadie anymore. So that was my thing with Zadie, because now she started doing drama on a Sunday. That's the same time as I take Zavi football.
Okay.
So now my weekend is that I spend time with Zavi on Saturday and Sunday, just us two, which is lovely.
Yeah.
But I don't get any time with Zadie. So then we say, oh, shall we swap? And I'll take her drama and you take Zavi football. And the said to say, like, oh, who did, like, we said, let her decide.
So, yeah.
Who do you want to take you to drama? She was like, oh, mummy, because that's what usually happens.
Go, okay.
Okay, go, now I can take you, though, if you want. She's like, okay, I want you to take me.
Yeah.
Okay, then literally the day before, she's like, I want mummy to take me. And I was like,
Fair enough.
I was like, damn it.
Oh, you wanted that daddy daughter time.
Yeah, but be fair, it's not much daddy daughter time because this drama car scares. She's at the age now where everything's like independent in the
sense. Oh, so what? It's just hanging around.
Drop you at the door, and they go into the classroom, and then.
Well, because you're only 3 and a half, right? Or
yeah, it's for four year olds. They accept her at 3 and a half.
Okay.
So
even at 3 and a half, they're like, you're a big woman.
Go in, yeah, and then they come back. Then they after an hour, it's like, here you go, it's your child back. You have to say the name. They hand you your child. And that's, but Naomi likes this class because it gives her an hour just to drink coffee, play the phone, and read the book or whatever and stuff. So, yeah.
Naturally, unless Zadie expressed an interest in drama, is that you as parents saying, we think you would be good in drama?
Yeah, it was that. It was just her behaviour and stuff and things she was interested in, like just making up stories and. An ability to follow a story through, like if she's making something up, like the characters will stay consistent in a story she's making up, and yeah, so it's like, okay, she understands that character, she understands how this person interacted with that person, and she starts watching Disney, she likes Moana and stuff, and Frozen, you know, likes the songs, and
that.
When you go along these things. See if you like it. And we've said to them, if you don't like it, you don't have to carry on going. But no, she seems to.
What other things have you sort of thrown? Because I know, obviously, with Xavi, you started in with football. But I don't know if that's a Project Mbappe thing or is that just... because I remember you saying in a few episodes before that he showed an affliction, a like for the ball.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so with Zadie, we've done football with Zadie.
Yeah.
But then, not sure if that was an age thing or... Well, actually, no, she's probably old enough to show an interest. She's wanted to sit in the net.
Or goalkeeper.
She's wanted to play with the net. Like, oh. She had no interest in the ball. She didn't want
to... There people just licking shots at the goal. She's just there.
Yeah, she's
back turned.
Yeah, she didn't care. I could try again. We'll see. But even like when I'm playing football with Xavi, like that natural sibling kind of jealousy of, oh, you're doing something, I want to play as well.
Yeah. She's nothing.
Nah.
Nah.
So, yeah, when it comes to like, any sport, really, with her not really seeing anything sport wise, like, she's active, she likes running, but.
Nah. Yeah, actual sports, yeah.
Nah, not seeing anything. So, it'd be interesting if she does pick up something, but.
Yeah, of course.
She's creative and cerebral.
Because I always think with, like, hobbies, with children, you know, you always say, oh, I started doing this when I was 5. I started doing this when I was 6.
Did you like that?
Did you? Yeah. Is that you showing an interest or expressing an interest, or is that your parent, because of their background, maybe, instilling that in you from early? Like a Floyd Mayweather, his father and uncle were boxers, I believe. So there's going to be... So he was in the gym from 5, 6.
Yeah, he's seen it. I think it's always exposure, right?
Yeah.
So, like I said, Floyd's going to be just sat in the corner of a gym. So, he's almost like, no different. He says, just watch his dad and uncle, like, punching punch bags and speedballs. And like, do you want to put someone?
Absolutely.
Whereas, like, Xavi won't see a boxing gym, so it won't even occur to him.
He loves his brother, but he will just, sort of pull up on him to kiss his forehead. I'm like, he's nothing. He's nothing. He can't even keep his head up. There's nothing to him. Stop leaning on him.
Because 2-year-old boys, I swear, are like, I hate having to use this animal, but they are like literally like chimps. They are though. 2-year-old boys are like chimps. Because you know the thing with chimps is that they there's a reason like they're so dangerous, like grabbing you and stuff. It's because someone said that apparently the way they're anatomically built, where you and I can go, oh, I'm holding an egg here, so I'll gently hold it.
Yeah.
They can only just everything's just every muscle's activated all the time.
Oh, so that crush.
Yeah, okay. So if they grab something, it's full force. Bam! And I feel like that is what Zavi's like.
Oh, yeah, toddlers are like that. Yeah, there's no sensitivity. It's like...
just... if he's happy, if he's sad, it's...
all or nothing.
Pow! Just like, why is it full force? Just... the amount of times he's just gentle hands.
Gentle hands. Oh, yes.
And he's just like, look, he's like, gentle.
That's making
hands.
It malfunction. The like, concept of gentle is making him.
You can see his hands just tensing up.
Gentle.
Yeah, man, all the time, just bam, bam, bam. Any moderation.
Yeah. All or nothing. That's how they be, these toddlers. Something else. But do you find, one thing I wanted to ask, do you find, because it's good that you're getting them doing a lot of activities and stuff that you're sharing with Naomi, do you find, and I think I've said this before, are you getting to the point where you're having to sort of pull back comedy-wise, or quote-unquote, on your dream, to facilitate theirs? Has it got to that point, or are you still managing to do your own thing and obviously
I can't complain, because I was in Yarmouth on Friday and stayed over.
I ain't got no opportunities, man.
Came back Saturday morning. It's a thing of I feel like if there was something, like, say, like the store kind of European gigs. Like,
yeah,
I still always throw my hat in.
There's one
that actually had like a last minute dropout.
Oh, to Amsterdam, was it? Yeah, I think Amsterdam for the day.
I think it was like Denmark. They had like two in Denmark.
Oh, okay, yeah. But did you put yourself forward? Or?
But I think I put myself forward for that one, but nothing came off. But I had like a full weekend of stuff with the kids. But in my head, I was like, nah, we'll just have to work it out. We'll have to work that out.
Yeah, because like, that one, it's the 3-day one, I've done it. I did it February last year. It's nice.
Yeah, it's annoying because they owe me a overseas gig.
You had one in Derry that got pulled?
Yeah. So they said, oh, we owe you one. I was like, like, we'll get it sorted. But be in their defence, whenever they post it, like in the forum, it's like I just never see it. It's like when I see, oh, you and Geeks, put your name down for the list, and you see 3D. It's like 3D.
I'm heartbroken.
It's like, that is done,
brother. Because you have to be like a hawk on those.
Because when I've caught it,
yeah,
invariably I do tend to. I'll get an email from from Anna day later.
Yeah.
For this and this one, I'm like, safe. So with those kind of gigs, it's more selective when it comes to the balance between parenting and stuff. So you're not really gonna catch me at a midweek gig.
Got you.
Open micing.
Testing
new material.
Got you. Yeah, same.
It's just not happening. Is that just?
Do you think because you started your comedy journey, you had no kids? Mm. Do you find, and obviously, when you started, you're doing open mics anyway, because that's how we start out. So is there a distinct sort of change between the gigs you're doing, pre-kids, post-kids,
Yeah, I'll say so, yeah. Like, there'd be some gigs that before, I would have just gone, I'll put my name in the hat for that gig. Even though it's open mics, I haven't even seen that venue before.
Yeah.
Well, that looks cool. Like, I've seen to some of the people who are on that lineup, even though I know no one's getting paid, I'm like, ooh, that's like a decent. Lineup.
Yeah.
So, I want to be seen there.
It's almost
like that, and then I don't know who I'd see there. Maybe in my head, it's always that boundless optimism of going.
Mm.
Maybe if I do this gig on a Wednesday for free, I'll gig with someone, and then I'll even get in at the weekends there, and then that's fine. Or I'll gig with someone who runs a gig.
Oh wow. Then,
so I was always like,
the hope was keeping you going.
Yeah, so I was like, there's always an opportunity. There's always something of
that. That's true. It's a good way to see things, but then money after me.
But after a while, it's just like, when you're trying to sneak out the house, and whilst away guys, gig, where? In London. Okay. Well, how much? You can pay? It's like,
So how much? Oh, that's the stickler. Oh, that's the stickler.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah. How
much am I getting paid to leave you to deal with the kids on your own? interesting.
Can you put a price on experience?
So it's like, yeah. So it's that is more selective, definitely.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, need be. And do you find, because of that, you have to do new material during your sort of paid sets?
Or I just try to book in more work in progress shows now. I'm just got like, you. Right, I'm just going to drill it all out. There's one, I won't say which venues, but there's some venues that I will just do new material there, even if it's the weekends, because I'm just like, you're paying me under a certain amount.
Oh, okay.
So you can probably work out.
Something religious comedy?
Yes. Then something physical body comedy.
Okay, I'm trying to figure that. Okay, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Those two, if I go.
Yeah, yeah, you're going to stretch your legs out. Have a bit of fun.
The opener might be classic. The closer might be classic.
Yeah.
Those 8 minutes in between, we're going to the roller coaster.
That's me, baby, baloney.
I will have ink on my hands. You will see. that's what you're getting.
But that's it. It's consummate with the fee that's been paid. So exactly. Fair dude. No, I just asked because I guess I've gone through similar where I don't do that many midweek gigs, if any.
Yeah.
I may do, funny enough, even tomorrow I'm doing a paid new material gig. It's only like 50 quid. It's not a lot. And it's not too far from my house. But I can then justify it because I'm like, oh, it's late. I'm closing it actually. So I can help you with bedtime, which is the big negotiation. I can help with bedtime.
Yeah, that's the one.
I can help I didn't see it as such a big... Because funny enough, when it was just Nathaniel, that was the whole selling point.
Yeah.
I'm at home during the day. You go to work, then we switch around in the evening. So obviously you're doing bedtime by yourself, but that wasn't
just one child.
Now, because there's two of them, bedtime is like, you're leaving me for bedtime.
It's a military operation and it's
woo!
It's a marital sticking point.
Oh my goodness.
Leaving for bed. Yeah, it's like, so you're not, the amount of times I can get to, they say tone of voice, so you're not here for bedtime. Then I'm sorry. I was like, it's in the diary. Like, it's there. Like, you know, it's there. Like, why are you making me say it?
Yeah. Like, you see the text on my phone. Yeah. You caught me red-handed.
Like, we've been speaking about this gig. Not a lot, but, you know, I've said it. I said, I'm going to be in this place.
It's in the calendar.
Yeah. So, what is with us? Because Naomi's working part-time.
Yeah.
It's Monday to Wednesdays when she works.
Yeah.
So really for her, it's like, I've got to be there for bedtime for those 3 days.
Yeah.
Full day at work. And
She's tired. And stuff like that.
I get it. And so it's like, fair enough. But the other days, that's when it's like, this isn't direct. I'm not coming back from work before this gig. Or I'm heading out of town. And so I'm not going to be back to even help out with the house.
And it probably works out because obviously you're typically with gigs, you're going to be more busy later in the week than early in the week anyway. So that probably sort of works out a bit.
But the only time it pisses her off is if like she wanted to do something socially.
Yeah.
Never with me. She wants to do something socially
with one of her friends. Why don't you go out with her husband? That's wild. Like, who does that?
So she'll be scrolling through diaries like, oh yeah, I'm going to go out in... The one that's the worst though, and like, that's why I'm trying to be so hot with putting stuff in the diary, is sometimes I'll forget to put something in the diary.
She's just like,
I'm going to go out with like so-and-so in March. It's like, oh, cool, when are you thinking? She's like, March 12th? I'm like, 12th. And she's like, no, there's nothing in the diary though. I was like, and she's like, what? I was like, it's just some...
I'm in Yeovil.
So not only can you not go out, you're going to have to do everything by yourself.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm sorry.
Do gigs in your house or do the gigs trump the social events in a situation like that? Would the fact that even though you've not put in a diary, would the paid gig trump drink to girls.
Yeah, but as the kids are getting older, it's like a thing of now it's thing, right, I'll ask my mum, ask my sister if they can come over.
Okay, so you're at the ask around stage.
Yeah, it's that. And it's like, right, do you know what? I forgot to put it in the diary, so the onus is on me to find childcare.
To find cover, okay.
Yeah, I'll do that. And if I can't, then... Yeah, I'm very fair in that thing. If I didn't put it in the diary, then I'm willing
to
deal with telling the... Oh, I'm just really sorry, I fucked up. My agent's double booked me or...
But then
there's some gigs where she... And then she's also fair. She goes, number, like, what gig is it? And I'm like, it is a good gig. Like,
she's like,
I'll see if we can go out on the Friday then.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's that, but it's still an air of, I'm pissed off that.
You're looking forward to the thing, and you got the night off to do her thing, and then you're like, about there.
But that's, yeah, that is, but yeah, so you finding, see, so you don't really do the midweek stuff anymore?
Not as much.
But you're finding enough, I guess, because you're doing that, like, you're just on it all the time, innit? Like, in.
Yeah. But you know, I did a work in progress last week with Ali Woods, like, of a new show. Like,
okay, yeah. Just, and is he doing his new show then as well?
Yeah, he's doing, he's working on a new show as well.
That's a good, work in progress partner to have in terms of
brilliant, it worked out. When we did it for our I guess his previous show, because he's done with it, and the one I'm going to tour, Trust Me, My Daddy, it worked out perfectly. Like, we would once or twice a month go somewhere, we could almost guarantee it was going to sell out,
just
off his popularity. And I'll just be like, look, I'll do the admin, I don't care, I'll do the admin. You get people here, we both get a chance to work on our stuff, So it actually works out quite well. So it was just nice to just stretch my legs and just.
Yeah.
It's one of the things where it's been in diary for months. It's just that I didn't actually have time to write.
Yeah.
Just life getting in the way, and because it's one of those ones where it's the easiest thing to put off.
Yeah, of course.
You need to do this. You need to.
I've got one in a month, and I just haven't. I haven't even posted it anyway. I haven't even put the link on my social media.
There we go.
I was like, what am I doing?
Lastminute.com. But then, on the day you write a few new jokes because you're like, oh, I can crowd work my way through this. And then you just make bare excuses. Yeah. So, but it was good. It definitely got me thinking. I just wanted to, I could have had concepts, but it got me thinking. And it was nice to stretch my legs. I think it was about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That was probably a good 10 minutes of that. It's just actual crowd work. So it's probably closer to half an hour.
Yeah.
But. Good to stretch my leg, good to get me thinking, and now a few jokes I've now trusted myself to put into my main set. So I was doing a set Sunday yesterday, and I put it in, and it just to compare it to the other jokes,
of course,
you know, just to kind of see where it's at, and it got laughs. It probably wasn't as strong as my gold, but I'm like, okay, it can hold its own. I just need to keep on working on it. So it's definitely given me impetus and been like, now I'm thinking about other stuff I can add on, tag on. So, it's all a balance. And I definitely think, because I used to sometimes think, when I started out, there's a comic, I don't want to say his name, but I know he's middle-aged, he's got three kids who, I think the youngest probably was around six at the time, and he would be selective with his kids. And I understood that he's got kids. I'm not a parent, I wasn't a parent at the time, but I kind of understood. And I was kind of like, what's he doing this for? I asked myself, what's he doing this for? Because I later, as I've gotten older, understand that everyone's in comedy for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people want to be the Netflix touring kingpin. Some people are doing it because it's literally just a fun hobby to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's everyone else is in between that. So I was like, what's he doing? He's middle-aged, he's got three kids. Does he want to be famous? He's doing this for a hobby? What's he doing this for? Why? And I understood that he has to be selective with the kids he does. Which is going to hamper his development.
Yeah.
Because ideally, for me anyway, when you're starting out, an open mic scene, that's the time where you've got to be to build some momentum, it's like learning how to ride a bike or learning any new skill at the time. You just need to be repetitive. If you're stop and start, then you can't start, really. I guess we're probably a bit fortunate that we started Son's Children.
Yeah, yeah.
So we could actually build a bit of momentum, build a base, a foundation, a skill set to sort of work off. And yeah, hopefully no, it's enough to take us through as we're navigating this early period of childhood. But I think let's probably wrap up this episode, this penultimate, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm saying that.
Yeah,
this penultimate episode of Late Nights and Wet Wipes. I've been your co-host, Michael Akadiri. To the left has been...
I see Bill Payer's permission. Who's that? It's me. Me is Darren G.
Take care and peace. We'll see you next week for the last episode. For the final time. Oh my God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another... No. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the final... The final episode of Late Nights and Wet Wipes. I am your co-host, Michael Akadiri, and to the left, I'm joined by...
I'm not here.
He's here physically, but not emotionally or spiritually. I think he yawned or cried.
The big ugly cried. Bill pays permission. Who's that? It's me. Me is Darren G. 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 For the final T I M E
E E E E. I don't know if you caught last week's episode, the penultimate episode. We did announce that, unfortunately, the podcast is coming to an end. Don't worry. There's not been any beef. There's not been any squabbles. Life has just been life in. And we're just going to make sure that we take care of family business. And hopefully, we hope, because there's actually no friction. There's no actually errors of contention. Hopefully, it's something that we can return to in the future. But we wanted to keep you guys posted that is happening. But at least you've got over 100 episodes that will be archived that you can go and listen and watch back to and reflect on. So that should hopefully keep you entertained whilst we try to sort out some business. Anyways... For the final time for maybe a long while, how's things, Darren? Everything all good? Family all good?
Yeah, everything.
Everything. Yeah, saying everything and nothing at the same time.
Yeah, it's everything. That's what it's saying, Jamaica. Yes, everything. That's it.
Yeah, man! Shout out Patrick Truman every time.
But all good. All good. What about you, man?
Yeah, all good. Yeah, blessing, two kids, blessed. It's a different dynamic. Yeah, I feel like I've joined you and Kazim, because obviously you, Kazim's got two kids, you've got two kids. Now I'm in a two kids lifestyle. It's a different ball game, man.
It's their house now.
Their house, their crib. Oh my goodness.
It's their house now.
It's funny because Dee, she's like, you're getting me a new couch, you're getting me a new carpet, these kids have ruined it. I'm like... Why are you getting nice stuff? Well, you know you're going to have children. I don't... It's the antithesis. It's complete opposites.
You just got to wait. And I tried to explain this to Naomi. We moved into our house.
Yeah.
I said, I just want fresh this. And I was like, but we're going to have two children here.
Mm.
And I was trying to explain to like my mate, stay... I tried to use them as an example. They fully and consciously went, we're not redecorating the house. They move to a new house and go, we hate this wallpaper.
Yeah.
They ain't changing it.
Until, they're holding it down.
Yeah, until he, the youngest one, is about five.
Yeah, and he has sense.
We are not bothering. And they even had like a, in their kitchen, one of the units.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the unit you're allowed to draw on. They're just like, we're not fighting it. They go to do these things. It's like,
that's your designated canvas. Yeah, I love it.
You could draw on that one. That's like, we don't care. And now their kids are like 9 and 7.
Yeah.
And stuff. And it's just like, yeah, now they've done the house up and they've done 100%. It's like, yeah, okay. I can see why.
Because he just gave like threw up milk on the couch and stuff like that. I was like, it's gonna happen. He stained it, and it's like a velvet sort of material. You can't even clean it.
No, just like same as our sofa. Naomi had this before we got with each other. So we moved into her flat when we. So she obviously lived in her flat. I moved in with her into a flat.
Did you feel a type of way? Sorry, I know that's not important.
No, we could go into that. Yeah, yeah. No, do what? This was one of those things that because I used to like be like. deep in online like chat rooms and
forums. Well, you did so.
No. mixed groups. Well, actually, mixed as in gender, but it's heavy like black groups and stuff.
Okay.
And it's just like banter groups for like, chatting nonsense, but then there'll be like dilemmas and stuff.
Okay, relationship dilemmas.
And yeah, stuff, so okay. I'd be confronted with dilemmas I hadn't even like thought about or experienced. You know what I mean? So I'm just seeing other people. I'm just like, oh yeah, but I don't know what I'd do with that. And one of them was some guy saying, as a man, you should never move into a woman's house because she could just kick you out. She goes, get out of my house, what are you going to do?
Like, yeah. What, do you think it's a valid question?
No, and then basically, so throughout the comments, a lot of guys were like, agree. And then the women was like, what are you doing for her to kick you out of her house? I'm not understanding this. Like, what? And then the guy is like, no, that's not the point. It's like the fact that she could do it and stuff. So they're like, okay. So in my head, I was thinking, I think at the time, I was with an ex and I was renting somewhere and she was with her parents and then she bought somewhere and it's just like, well, it kind of makes sense that we move in together. And it's like, it's so funny, like, because this group was in my head, she was like, she had the money for a deposit. I did not.
Yeah.
But I was like, I can give you like this much money. So I was like, so that means I would have like 2% of that. Oh dear.
You were doing back of the couch searches.
She's like, I could afford this by myself.
So, I don't need your change.
I don't know why I need to give. It's funny, yeah. So in my head, I was like, I kind of felt a way about like living with like that ex and stuff. But then funny thing was is then we did split up and I was like, all right, I've got to leave. But then my head's like, oh wow, this is proper easy for me to leave because none of this is mine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, clean break.
I just pack up my stuff into my suitcase and take my shit and then leave. And then it's like, now your bills have doubled.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm out here. You've got to handle that bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, owner. Freeholder.
So then when it came, but then obviously matured and thought about more and stuff. So when it came to moving in with no money, I was like, oh, it makes more sense for you to move here and stuff. And I was just like, it does make more sense for me to move with you. I was like, okay. That's to think about. And I had to probably like think about my head, but after a while, I was like, yeah, it's whatever. And I was saving money and stuff. It was cheaper for me to live with her than where I was renting. And stuff. So it's just like, yeah, fine. And then, So it's the first place we lived, it was hers that she rented. Then the second place we lived, we bought together.
Okay.
But saying that, yeah, so she had the sofa from, so imagine now she's, you know, young woman, she's saved money.
She patterned herself kind of well then. Because when you met,
yeah,
this is totally irrelevant, but I'm just more commending her. It sounds like she had deposit money like ready.
Yeah, I mean, she also had help from bank of grandparents. But
jeez! All right, Metro Common Facebooker. Like, every time there's like an article on social media, young person in 20 has deposit. Well, what bank of grandma helped her then?
Well, that's the world we're in right now, isn't it? It's either no one deserves anything. It's either, of course, he's got that deposit as a straight white man. Of course she's got deposit DEI. It's like, what? Yeah, bank probably handed a deposit to her because she's black, female, lesbian, disabled, lesbian, trans, Jew.
Facebook dads are something else.
Throwing it all there. And
Facebook dads are something else.
We've literally just got a world where everyone just doesn't think anyone deserves anything.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
This man's a self-made millionaire. Of course he is. Oh, straight white man. Life must be so hard for him. You read the article. So this guy lost his parents when he was 7. He grew up in care. Then he got adopted. And then his adopted mother was murdered in front of him by his adopted dad.
What kind of narrative is this?
Then he was abused by his uncle. But he went through therapy. But then he just didn't feel bad for himself. Yeah. He's worked hard, got his own business, and then if he sold in the comments go, well, it's a straight white man that was easing right here. Imagine if he was a black woman who
had this. Black disabled woman.
It's just like, but just give the man credit. It's yeah. It's wow, it's white privilege.
It helped him over. It helped him overcome all.
But yeah, and the other way around, you see this fucking black woman who's like, she's got a degree in this, a master's in this.
Oh, yeah.
She's got 20 years experience in that. She did this, did this. She's married, did this. She's got none of like the social.
Yeah. Like, she got baby fathers all over the gaff and stuff like that.
And it's like, yeah, okay, DEI.
tick box
exercise. Fucking, I've had enough of this fucking work. That's like, bro.
You know the one that killed me? Because the point, I sometimes see adverts, and then when I see, it's got to the point, and it's actually sad that when I see, I'm on Facebook,
comments,
and I see a black person advert, and I just see, if I see one angry emoticon,
because
it doesn't show you how many numbers, you just see the variety of emoticons, and I see one angry face, I just go to comment, and I see hundreds of comments, I'm like, oh my goodness, I know I'm just going to see tick box, beefing in the comments.
Only thing that gets the people going more than the black family in the advert is an interracial family. that gets everyone.
Yeah, you're trying to fool us?
That gets Graham from Middlesbrough. And that gets Kwame from Lewisham. It's just like, we've had enough of this agenda!
And it's like, bro, hey man, go Shoreditch on a Friday night. It's not a problem, bro.
It's just like,
it's like, live people
are pushing this narrative. I literally saw it today on Facebook. It was an advert for the Maldives. Trip to the Maldives. Yeah. And it was black guy, white woman, and a mixed race son.
All they do is
just sat there on the beach, smiling at nothing.
Hey, come on, that's too much,
and then
man.
The comments was like, oh, typical British family. Who even said they're British? They're in the Maldives.
Yeah.
Love them. Right, but then some of the comments did make me laugh, going, this is her second trip to the Maldives. Implying that she went with a white guy first and then met this guy while in the Maldives.
What narratives are people contriving? This is crazy. That's wild.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, that's the social media world we live in, man. It's crazy. But that's what I'm saying about this sofa. So she had this sofa. So, you know, she's done well, like, young woman, independent, absolutely. Got a flat on her own. So now I've moved in, and she was still, I think she'd like, maybe she had like a few more payments left on her sofa. She paid it over thing. And I remember, I think I'd put a coffee cup like on the sofa like that, so it left like a little ring mark.
Woof. What colour is the sofa?
This is another argument we had. I said it's blue, she said it was grey.
Is it that dress argument again?
Yeah, it's like those. She's like, it's a grey sofa. I was like, it's definitely blue, like, what are you talking about? Like, it's only blue. But I left a ring mark on the sofa.
Yeah,
I can't remember, something like that. It was something hot that I put on there. Mike, if you understood like the rage this woman had.
Oof.
Like, it was just, it was such an issue. Like, such an issue where, granted, if she didn't make such an issue about it, I would just be like, oh, sorry, and just moved on. Because she made such an issue, I was like, I was Googling how to remove
marks. You're shook.
No, because it was just like, this is now created tension in the flat. Like, she's still talking about it. And I thought, I'm only going to do it when she's out. Like, because if she sees me with some kind of product touching her sofa, she's not going to be able to cope. She's not going to be able to cope. She's like, what are you doing? You even use that on my sofa? And like, her mum always used to like tell her off because she's an only child anyway. So not the best at sharing. I've now moved into her space.
Oh, of course.
So she now has to share her toys with me, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's, yeah, very interesting point.
Yeah.
You're probably the first person she's had to really have that experience with.
So... So this is her living trajectory. Lived with her mum, moved out on her own, then me.
Oh my goodness.
So no flatmates,
Oh my goodness. Did you go uni or?
She went uni but lived at home.
Oh my goodness.
So she never experienced. She never experienced. I'm just shared the
never
space.
Never experienced someone taking her milk at uni, all of that.
None of that.
You need those.
You need those experiences.
Yeah, you do. I think you need. I'm going to go. I'm going to be bold. Yeah, I think you need those.
You need them. You need them. You need them. So yeah, my one was lived with my mom or and siblings.
Yeah.
So, well, siblings.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Then moved to uni halls, so with 12 other people.
Oh, yeah, you need that, man.
Then downsized to just 3 other people, so 4 of us in the house.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and then I'd lived with, before Naomi, I did with 2 girlfriends.
Yeah.
And then in between those, flatmates and stuff, So... always with other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is what it's like to share the space.
Yeah, that's
someone.
It. You're a veteran. You're a roommate veteran.
So she just couldn't get her head around this. That you know, sometimes your things will get broken by someone else.
And all they can say is sorry and try not to do it again.
Yeah, like I remember I broke the toilet. Right. I see that she herself she's bloody abused me into saying that sentence. I didn't break the toilet. The toilet broke.
I didn't like stop flushing.
The toilet seat.
Yeah. Okay.
Like pins in the seat.
Just got loose or something like that.
It came loose. Yeah. Bam. Popped open.
Yeah.
Why have you broken my toilet seat? I was like, how? How can I break?
Why have you?
Yeah. Like, and why like, have I? That's
the intention.
That's the intention. And two, how can I break a toilet seat? I don't know how you broke it. I've lived here all this time and haven't broken it. You've broken it now. I was like, I don't know.
I've lived it all this time. Woo!
I said, I don't know, man.
You say that you're fella.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't know. What...
I've come to disrupt her tranquility and peace.
Isn't it? It's like, I don't know what to tell you, but I haven't. I didn't do it. And her mum used to have to tell her off. Just like, no, you have to share these things.
Yeah, especially. Were you engaged at this point?
No. So this before we got engaged. So we moved. We only lived with each other for 3 months before we got engaged.
Shit, then.
Yeah.
What?
Because my rule, I just had some ridiculous rule in my head.
What, this incel
face? No. This not the incel face. It was a mixed group. There's women in the group.
These incel rules you're following.
Right. It's actually this is from an older woman who said this.
Okay.
She said that you should live with someone for like 6 months before. If you can live with someone for 6 months,
yeah,
then you can live with them for life.
Okay, all right.
So yeah, like basically within the 6 months, you'll see things there that it's like whether you can cope with it or not.
Yeah, no doubt.
So yeah, see in my head, I was like, yeah, we're moving. Okay, after you live with each other 6 months, then I'm like, you know, I'll decide it like for compromise or whatever. But then after that, we moved in. I was about a month. No, I was like, yeah, but what more are you gonna learn about? Like,
yeah, true.
Like,
yeah.
To put the pressure on, just like, never. Yeah, what are you waiting for? Da, da, da. I was like, listen, it's only been a month, and you're a jar of me.
hey, you might leave another coffee soon. Could that be it?
Yeah, no, you're thinking that I'm annoying you in your space. No, it's you're annoying me.
It's vice versa. Well, how long were you together before you moved in?
A year.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes it a bit easier in my head. Not that it needs to make sense.
No. So we were together for a year, and obviously all that time she lived in that flat. So it went from me visiting,
and you probably stayed over for a weekend.
Then the whole weekend there, and then it's like actually. I think I can travel to work from here. So I'm like,
okay. So all right. That makes sense.
It became that. So it's like now I'm standing. Extend the amount of time. Just like, I might as well just move in now. Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're 15 months, and then you propose.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So I'm increasing your bills and not paying towards anything.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, you're coming for a long weekend and just jetting and be like, yeah, love for that.
Yeah. Exactly. So that sofa, man. So it was all just like to bear tension about this sofa. Sofa so precious. Don't build this. And then we had the kids. And just bare cream on that sofa. Just bare cream. Just cream. Nappy cream. And you know all these baby creams are just, they're thick.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Just like, I don't know what they're made of.
Yeah, proper, thick bases and everything.
Dare get these creams on anything other than your child's skin.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
It's a mess.
It's a mad zine.
Like getting ready in the morning
with
the kids. I'll be showered. I will not put my clothes on for the day. because I'm
like, oh, could you know, I just know that any stain, yeah.
Like, and plus both of them, they will not just, to me, to get them ready and they like are fully compliant,
yeah,
it has to be like as soon as they wake up.
Okay, so just like militant.
Yes,
like,
as soon as they wake up, they're all a bit like, is it morning? Like,
yeah, they're still a bit dazed.
I'm just like, right, let's get you dressed. Stand up. And they're not standing up properly and stuff. That's where I can get them dressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The moment if they've had some milk and then watched a bit of TV, it's like, right, come on, let's get dressed. It's a game.
Oh. No, I don't like it. Yeah,
running off and, no, can you just stand up, please? It's just that. It's just, stand up, come on. Stand here. And then, like, as soon as you get a sock on, you let go of their person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just gone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Just running across the landing now. You can hear their bums just going down the stairs. Just like, oh, just like, come back. So yeah, just shouting, come back, man. This is ridiculous. Yeah. So, yeah, and sofa's been battered.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it gets destroyed. Yeah, don't get anything nice during that 0-5 stage.
Floor's been ruined.
Yeah, of course. It has to get ruined. Been, like,
I didn't know floors could be ruined like this. So, like, laminate flooring like this.
Yeah.
Bruv, the amount of, like, see where all the seams are?
Yeah, yeah, where there's all bubbles. Bubbles. Oh, water. Just spilling.
I think so, like, Zavi's, he's young, he doesn't know how to say it. Zadie's that, she's at the age where I'd start to be in trouble.
Okay, so if she's done something wrong,
she'll just won't tell you.
Oh.
So you're there to go about your day. It's like, wait, what? You walk, it's like, why's my foot wet? And you look down, her water bottle's just there, upside down, just spilled. And it's just like, that has seeped in all the cracks in the floor.
Oh, that's gone south.
Yeah, and to try to explain to say, listen, when you do something like this, it's like, it was an accident. I was like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just tell mummy or daddy so we could fix it.
Yeah, yeah, solution.
Yeah, yeah, and she's just like, oh, I don't want to be in trouble. I was like, just tell me.
Yeah, just tell me.
Because
just
things just getting fucked up in the house. So, our living room floor has got about, no lie, about 8 of those.
Are you just waiting till like Zabby gets fired?
Yeah, we're just like, do what? This floor's just fucked up. Just put more rugs. More rugs. You watch, there's just be this all disjointed rugs all over the place. Rug. And then when they're older, it's like, all right, we'll get a new flooring.
Yeah, yeah, get every,
This is dumb.
Yeah. Do you think that plays a part in when people decide if they want to have any more kids? Like stuff like what we're talking about in terms of...
Oh, yeah.
Like, just get stuff out the way in that regard. You're planning house stuff, you're planning this stuff.
100%. Because we went through a little broody patch, and we was like, you know, like, how hard was the third one? Went through that, and then I think the Zavi sleep just went nuts. And then we was like, third what?
Are you dumb?
Yeah, and it's...
What, shop? Definitely shop.
For now, but not completely shut.
Okay, all right. So you still got the lease?
Yeah, still got the lease. Still not sure. But we agreed we are just going to get rid of the baby stuff. We agreed that if we were going to have another child, then we just have to just get new things.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's funny because you talk about that.
Because it's like, it's going to be old and it's going to be stained and dated and.
Da-da-da. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, whereas like Zavi had. No, a lot of stuff that Zadie had.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, less than 2 years. Yeah,
but it was like, all right, we're not really gonna have another child that type soon. Then they're just working out ages and stuff. Like I'm 37.
Yeah,
Naomi's 34 now. So it's like, okay, how old would you want to be having that child? And yeah, and it's weird. Like she'd be happy with 3. I mean, I'd be happy with 3. I mean, we're happy with 2.
She was 28 when you got married, right? 20?
No, she was 28 when we met. She would have been... How long have we been married for? 5 years, 32, 30. She would have been 30.
Okay, yeah. I think... No, I don't, there's no basis for this, but I think I got married at 28. We got married at 28.
Yeah.
And I think my older brother got married at 28.
Ah, okay.
So, Well, just in my family, just 2 of us got married at 28. So I was just thinking it's like late 20s, 28, the number, 27, 28, is that the number?
To be fair, that's the age. So with my like ex before,
yeah,
I was, those thoughts were in my head about,
when you were turning 28.
Yeah, when I was around that age, where I was like, yeah. I think this is, I'm at that age now, I'm ready to like actually just, yeah, retire from the game and enter the studio.
Yeah.
And then that didn't work out. I was back in the field again. But yeah, but then it was like, yeah, I think at that stage of my life, I was, well, I'm dating with intention.
With intention, now, yeah.
So it's like, okay, what you so want?
Something switched.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I just where it's just, yeah, dates were just, well, no, the dates, which, you know, Tinder, whatever. Just the questions were just a bit.
I can't believe you found love on Tinder.
Just a bit that's direct.
Shocking.
Because I found another sociopath who just answered asked the same questions I asked. That's why.
You found love on Tinder. Bonkers.
Yeah, we've got
in 2017, 2020, especially when that was when it was rife.
Yeah, 2017.
Have you spoken about that?
Not in detail, but yeah, 2017 met on Tinder. I mean, I've got a joke about in the special about me on Tinder and stuff, but
that's bonkers.
But yeah, not in any real detail, like.
Yeah, because obviously now everyone says Hinge. Yeah, like, and obviously even people critique Hinge, but. That's the one if you want to find like a life partner. Yeah, so you found a life partner on the sleeve.
In hell.
And the life partner now you've got two kids with, married, the house. Like, it's fine. It's not like drama, you know?
Yeah, like some people, are completely shocked by it. But I remember our first few messages were like, it was just fire. She's like, it's heavy hitting questions.
Oh, so she knew what she wanted.
Yeah, well. So we both, and I was like, I think she fired off the questions first, and I just laughed. I was like, okay, cool. Is this what we're doing? I could do this.
Yeah.
We both just like, there's no point wasting time. So let's find out all these mad questions first.
Yeah.
Then we'll decide we want to like actually.
What are the mad questions?
So like what you're on here for, like just stand ones what you're on here for, when is your last relationship, why did you break up, what's your family situation like, got any kids, do you want to get married, do you want kids?
So this basically like it's basically to me this is like an episode of Pop the Balloon. I've watched this YouTube show Pop the Balloon, but based in text form where they do that, they ask these questions like face to face.
And I feel like that's how every thing should be in the sense of your first dates. Just get those hard questions out of the way.
Absolutely.
Because what is the point of going on dates and dates and dates, then you find out, oh, you don't want kids.
Yeah.
Oh, I really want kids.
Yeah. So, Lewis Hamilton, Nicole Scherzinger.
Yes. Yeah, so what have you been doing for these past, like, years? Some people go out for years.
And they lust. Don't know. Lust. They'll be lusting.
Yeah, it's like, what, not one point you ask that question.
Yeah, not true that.
Yeah, I found it strange. So it's like, yeah, so we was just like that. And what's your relationship like with your mum? What's your relationship like with your dad? And then we end up talking on the same day we met.
Phone call?
Yeah, because I said, what's your relationship like with your dad? And she goes, that's a phone call.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I've got time. And she's like, all right, I'll give you a call in a few minutes.
Oh.
And then we spoke on the phone and then chatted about that. We chatted away, go, all right, cool. It would be cool to meet up and stuff. And then we did.
What was it, coffee?
So our first date was booked for, it was a Thursday we were talking. Our first date was booked for the following Sunday. Because I already had a date booked in for that week.
Hey, DG! DG, you know? Man had his future wife waiting.
Yeah.
Hey.
But then, I had a radio show on Saturday mornings and I made that my dilemma of going, right, if you had a date booked in with someone, but you've started talking to someone else and you like that person more, would you bother go on the date on the Sunday or would you cancel that date and just focus on the person that you seem to have more of
Had you been on a date previously with the first person?
No.
Okay, but the vibe of just on texts and calls wasn't the same?
Yeah, it's what I say, it weren't bad, but it's just like, it was more of a cordial thing of, oh, it's meeting Sunday, cool, see you Sunday, done. Whereas me and Naomi was, I want to see you next Sunday, cool. hey, how's your day going? So we was messing all day and stuff. So I'm literally talking to this girl all day, every day, in the lead up to a date with another girl.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
That's
why the dating world isn't for me.
No, but I end up cancelling the date with the other girl.
Yeah,
and asked, "No, are you free this Sunday?"
Yeah,
and she was like, "Yeah, okay." And then I met her that Sunday, and then we went out the Friday, and then we went out on the Sunday, which would have been our pre.
Oh, so by then it was our third day. Oh,
yeah, so damn. we managed three dates. Three dates in 8 days, yeah.
And what, the rest is history?
The rest is history, yeah.
Shit, man.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. I like that story.
Yeah, see?
Very heartwarming.
In the sleazy world of Tinder. Made it wholesome.
Tinder should pay you for that.
Yeah.
As an ad.
We spoke about Ori Styler in our first conversations as well.
Oh, as in comedy being your link.
Because you could see their Facebook friends.
Yeah.
So that was the one person we had mutual.
Oh. I've been to a show.
How do you know Ori? He's like, he's not an ex, is he? Just like big eyes. Ori, no. And I was like, okay. I was like, he's not that bad. What's that? Like, that's my boy. Like, don't be disrespectful, but my boy. he goes the other way.
You must be you're not well. Yeah. That one second you're like, I hope you haven't slept with him. The next second it's like, don't be rude about him. Yeah,
what's wrong with my boy? they're both from the same area, isn't it? Northwest.
So she goes,
I don't even know. She goes, I just know him from about.
Oh, just, yeah, yeah. Especially, I guess, in his line of work, his line of work is being known.
Yeah.
So maybe, I have no idea, but maybe we'll just add in
random people. No, but then when we were on the same show together, then when he saw it, just immediately, oh, Naomi.
They just know each other to say hello. One of them people from
so
the
he
area.
So he always found it mad that we got together.
Oh,
because it's just two different worlds.
Got you.
So then he was just like, yeah.
I only take her as I've seen her, but yeah. Obviously I know you got that Halston joke in the show about it. But is that how she was known?
No, because
that's a joke. So that's amped up.
Nah, she's just from the area. So people just from Northwest.
Okay, I'll know her.
Yeah, no, yeah, she's not like a name in Northwest.
Yeah.
There's some people that have no idea who she is, obviously, yeah, but some people just know who she is, just, yeah. From about.
You must have, where was you living at the time?
I was living in Wembley.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was about to say, what grade did you put on your Tinder?
I was in Northwest, so... Although she was in Hertfordshire living, but her mum was still living in Northwest.
Oh, so when she came to visit her mum,
so I guess that's where
the radius crossover.
Yeah, I was living in Wembley.
What made you go to Wembley? This is not even possible. Sorry. We're gonna get to the listeners' question. We've got a listener question loading. I'm gonna actually go to read it in a sec. Sorry, I'm just fascinated by Darren.
I lived with my cousin in Wembley. He had the place in Wembley.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I'm just thinking, if you're born and bred in Harlow, you're working in London, but why would you pick Wembley to live? Mm. Obviously, no disrespect to Wembley, but in terms of there's a cost element to it. But if you could pick anywhere in London to live,
cussing Wembley,
and you have no personal ties to anywhere, Wembley. Is going to be low down your list. Even.
What about, how do you meet that? You went to uni, isn't
it? Yeah, uni. So, just mutual friends for a while. So, she was friends with some people I was friends with on my course, and we were all in a big friendship group.
Yeah.
But we weren't dating. I was with someone when I got to uni anyway. So, We weren't even a thing. We're just cool, but it wasn't even a thing.
So you knew it. So you was friends in the same group?
Yeah, we're all part of a big friendship group. Part of a big friendship group. And it was one of the ones where we're just cool. Like, it wasn't any sort of declaration of interest on either side. I was in a relationship, she was doing whatever she was doing. And then I guess sometime after my situation broke up, we just got a bit closer, and then we started exploring things, knowing that when you're friends and you step into being more than friends, it's always that dangerous sort of, if this doesn't go right,
that the friendship group is
Yeah, the friend group is messed up. It's going to be an awkward place. You can never really go back to where you was. Because I don't know how two friends can... Some people seem to manage it, but two friends can innocently do a thing and then...
I think if you're friends beforehand, you can. I think it's when you're not friends, it's hard to go back to... You can't change to being friends, I think.
Well, I guess there is... If you've got the foundation, it's easier to work back towards it, but I guess...
But both of you depends have to really be on that same page.
100%, and it depends on the circumstances. Like, if one person... Because sometimes I find with... When a guy and girl are friends, sometimes, and someone typically likes someone more.
Yeah.
And usually you're only friends because...
One person isn't letting it get to...
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's just the best of a bad situation for you. So you're just... You're besties, but really you want to be more than besties, but that person, because they've got the cards, they're
we're,
like...
Yeah, we're besties, but if you say...
If you give me the green light,
I'm running through.
I'm hopping on.
I'm running through amber light.
The lights are changing.
Yeah, that's ah.
Obviously, so many situations are like that. So, but yeah, fortunately, we just when the lights changed, we both hit go, and that was yonks ago now, over a decade ago now. So
yeah, there you go. It's been doing your thing.
Do not tank. Let's list this question. Listener's dilemma. Sorry, that weren't really a parenting.
Nah,
that was.
But people know where parents meet.
Yeah, exactly. How I met your mother. All right, cool. So, am I the arsehole? So, thank you for sending this question in. This couple, it's the lady, the mother, that's sending the question in. She has a 10-week-old baby. Her husband, who is in the late 20s. She says, adores the baby and always wants to spend every moment with him, but he engages in some unsafe behaviors, like sleeping on the couch while the baby's contact napping, or leaving the baby on the playing mat unattended whilst the dog is in the room, or putting the baby for a day nap with his bib still on around his said neck. So when she's gone to her husband and confronted him about these behaviours, he said, "Oh man, you're being too anxious, love, man. You're doing too much. You're making a big deal out of everything. The baby is all good. The dog's not going to hurt the baby. You're doing too much." She's like, "Rah, okay, he's not taking my complaint seriously. So I'm still concerned. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go speak to his mother and his sister and let them know about my concerns. They may be some sisterly, some femininity love, I don't know. They took her side, blasted him a new one. Told him, in your head top. Let him know it's not cool, they ripped him a new one. Now he's upset that she's gone and told his mum and his sister this. Now she's angry at her. So the listener's like, rah, like, should I feel bad? Did I do wrong? If I've got these concerns, would I have wrong in involving his mum and his sister? So where do you stand on that, Darren? Where, like, she had some concerns, she thought her husband wasn't taking the concern seriously enough, so she went around him and got the other ladies in his life involved. Is that right? Is that wrong?
I mean, sometimes with these things, it's like... You shouldn't... I am of the thing you shouldn't get like other people involved in your marriage. But sometimes it's like you can't get through to the person. Well, in an ideal world, what should have happened is they should have found a way to communicate. Like she acknowledged herself that she goes off. And that makes him defensive.
No doubt.
Whereas maybe if it's just a kind of calmer explanation of the reason why you can't put our child to snap with a bib on is because they could choke and die.
Oh, yeah. Damn. when you say it like that.
Yeah, just say it calmly. They choke and die. And you don't want our kid to die. Neither do I.
Hopefully not, yeah.
Yeah, I know you don't want your kid to die because you're a good dad.
Yeah.
And that'll make him go, I don't know what. Yeah. But when it's that kind of... Because I've been on the end of it, of that kind of just, you know, kind of that kind of maternal worry
and
panic
of course,
and stuff.
Absolutely.
And I guess I've been able to see the wood through the trees.
Mm.
And so, going, okay, all right, fine. But I also get it. It's just like, man, it's like, I'm not a dickhead.
But
sometimes you're just not seeing it. And sometimes when you've got a concern, you're not expressing that concern. You're just expressing your worry.
And rage. You're just unloading.
Yeah. And so the other person who's received is just like,
huh? Yeah, what am I meant to do with this? Yeah.
And then with like involving the mum and sister, it's like, she's probably calm when she's explaining it to them.
Mm.
So that makes him look like so unreasonable.
Yeah.
Like she's probably calm because, you know, you put him down, you falls asleep with him.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Yeah. Just like, you know, and that's so dangerous. They're like, that's, I know. That is so true.
That's
so
true.
It's dangerous. When she's telling him, he's like, oh my God, get up!
Yeah. especially if it's just happened.
Yeah.
So if it's just happened, she's giving that quick emotional response where, even though there's a logic to her concern, she's just unloading. And yeah, he may be getting that heightened, a bit of hysteria. Whereas, as you say, where maybe when she's discussing it with his mum and sister, it's a bit more calm, a bit more collective, which, as you say, makes him look like he's just this unreasonable person, which he may not well be. He just, no one likes to be unloaded at.
Right.
And then now sister and mother have taught him a new one. And now he's, because they're thinking, why are you being so unreasonable? We didn't raise you like that. Now you're embarrassing our family name. You got to do better. You got to be a better husband. Now he's like, what the F, man?
Right.
Now you got my sister and mother thinking I'm not a good husband to you. I'm not out here providing for you. Just because the bib is on, you think I'm not a good father? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I fed the boy.
And that's the thing. Yeah, that's the other thing, right? He's probably done all this other... one needs a high five for parents.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just feeding your child, yeah. You don't
but he may have done all these other things throughout the day. And
absolutely.
That's the one... fuck up, which is it could be fatal, so you get why you're upset. But it's like in his mind all he's getting is, well, I've done all this
yeah,
and then he's just shouting.
Yeah, bear aggro.
Yeah, he's just like, you just look after the baby then.
Like that
he almost gets like that. You just do it then.
Yeah, you do it. Yeah
if I'm so shit.
that's always the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Back. Like, your job may be to vacuum, but if you don't vacuum to that standard, you've not vacuumed.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, I think it's that. So my advice is calm it down. Calm it down. Yeah, and...
Be easy with it.
Yeah, try to communicate.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Communication is key. It always has been key. It always will be key. And, sometimes... Not going, I would think doing saying stuff in the heat of the moment is always a bit problematic. Sometimes you may have to let the emotions, let the anger sort of die down before you go and communicate, so you can articulate yourself about the hysteria. Easier to say, obviously, sitting here, but that's what I would sort of suggest, because it sounds like the husband probably comes from good stock anyway, especially if his mother and his sister were ready to go in on him.
Yeah,
that suggests that he comes from good stock. He's probably a decent enough guy. So yeah, maybe just time and place for this.
But he's also probably, and actually, if they've got it on him as well, he's probably just like, oh fuck no, you're just like my mum and sister.
he can't escape it. He got married to what he grew up with, which is something. I don't know if that's, as you say, because some people say that, like, oh, girls typically marry people who are like their dad.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's the other way around, if men marry people who are like their mum. But,
you say you've done that?
There are similarities. It's terms of, like, their nagging, I would argue that they've both nag or complain about sort of superficial nonsense things. But so that's probably where there's a similarity. Like, now, I was thinking about it the other day. I remember I used to... Obviously, I'm a child, and I don't...
Yeah.
I understand why someone would be frustrated, but I'd never know. Like, my mom will come back, and she'll be cleaning. Like, she's gone to work. She'll come back, she's cleaning. She'll be like, I'm the only person who cleans in this house. I'm the only person who does this, does that. I've been at work all day. Now I'm coming back cleaning. And I guess I'm, like, 7 or 8, and I'm like, I may help, but even if I try to help, I'm not going to do it as good as her. So I kind of thought, I'm not going to bother then. But I was like, damn, it can't be that hard. Like, that's in my 7 to 8 year old brain. It's like, oh my goodness, I went to
work. But you're smart as a 7 to 8 year old not to say
that. Of course,
loud.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I didn't say it out loud. It's just what I thought in my head. I was like, damn, all right, man, people work. Like, you're probably like, but you're probably like angry, like, I've got. So, yeah, now the thought of after work doing anything other than just chilling. You just want to chill, but you know when you go home, there's
like even shift. Like even now, I was kind of organized my time. And I was like, I'm just going to leave this washing up.
Nah.
And then before I left, I went to Naomi, there's washing up in the sink. I haven't left it for you.
Yeah. The little disclaimer.
Yeah, but that's all, just let you know. And she's like, oh, but I feel really bad that you come home late and it's just there.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's it. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. But,
but I'm not telling you to do it.
But I'm just not saying it needs to be done. I'm just saying I'm in my mind that is something that needs to be done when I get back.
But
it's that. It's just like, it's just adulting, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Ours is long. It's just so, so long. Like, and I think even, like, I think especially now, like, nobody really gets it that comedy is fun. I enjoy being on stage.
Yeah.
But all she's seeing is someone who enjoys a part of their job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I do not enjoy driving 2.5 hours. I don't enjoy it. And oh, she understands that, and she also understands why I stay over now. Because it's not a thing of, like, yeah, granted, I do get a lie-in of some sort. Or a completely undisturbed night. But yeah, it's just the pain of having to drive 3 hours after. Like, some days I've been at work all day. If it's not Saturday, I've been at work all day.
Yeah.
Even if it's a sad day, because I had to get up early with the kids.
I've taken swimming, run errands, drop
this to every, gone to Impost, picked this up from Asda, done this, tried to do a little Tesco shop, and now it's like, all right, it's 5 PM now. I'm gonna get in the car. Well, I'm driving to Nottingham. I'm driving to this place. Getting there, and then it's like, and if you're emceeing, then you're just there for the whole thing. 10:30, you're now leaving, and it's just all right. Get in the car, because they haven't provided the hotel. So I'm in the car.
Hey, man. Life of a road comic.
Let's make it home and not fall asleep on the way.
That's the thing. You don't want to be loaded up on coffee too much.
Yeah.
Because when you get home, you want to sleep. But then you can't be sleeping on the road.
Oh, it's bad. It is bad. But my go-to is ice cream.
Oh, okay. So no caffeine. Sugar.
Try not to go for ice cream. Yeah, so I go for, like, it's cold as well.
So it's
like Snickers bar, something like that. Nothing crazy. I'm not trying to.
No, big ass McFlurry.
Yeah. Can't have a spoon.
If you're even there, you're enjoying too much.
Just there, just that.
Trying to, on the airway.
Oh, boy. Hitting the two lane.
Hickey-gits. Hey, the cops are, hey, stay in this lane, cuz you're jibby and driving.
Snickers ice cream stuff, but yeah. But then even that, it's like I hate do, like, after I've done it, I get home,
yeah,
and I look in my car, and it's just like an empty bag of Haribo, and like a bag of like chocolate, and then the ice cream's like, so I've eaten all this shit after 11 PM. So
100%, yeah. Just this is just
dead calories that are just.
Storage!
Just making me fat.
Yeah. Then I'll be like, why am I looking like that? Yeah, because late night drive, because you're doing it, you're just trying to survive.
Yeah, that's it. All this is for is just to get home.
To get home, you're just trying to survive. And it's like, stop, right?
Yeah.
You can't be eating this because you feel like you just survive, or you feel like it's a treat, or whatever it is, however you justify it yourself. It's like, you should be average.
Or you haven't had, or if you haven't had dinner before you've gone.
Oh, that's suicide. Terrible.
So 7 days we've gone, they've just headed to the gig. You're suicide, in gig now, then you're leaving. It's like, right, it's 10:30. Do I try to find something local? Because that means that I've eaten as early as possible now.
Or
just get on the road. Get on the road, and it's just like, I'm hungry. See the service station, see the two golden arches.
Ah! Hey, man. You're going to get the Stormzy meal?
Yeah, get the Stormzy meal. I mean, we see the Colonel.
Yeah.
And that's what kills me, man. It's like, sometimes I'll do that. I head on the road. It's like, right, I've come to terms. I'm going to eat some trash on the way home.
Yeah.
I get to this service station, I just see bare shutters. And the only thing that's open is like the M&S or the thing. I was like, I don't want a dead sandwich.
Yeah, it's cold sandwich sake. After a late night.
This is shit.
Yeah.
And then you get home and then my wife's just like, so you had fun out last night? It's like, just for like 20 minutes. Yeah! I had fun.
That was a small part of it.
I've had 5 hours of no fun.
All deal. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's the part of comedy. Oh, I can't stand the test. Yeah. Do a lot of just dead hours traveling.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You're just driving behind the wheel because you can't afford the driver and all that shit. You can't, yeah, just dead time.
Because if there's like at least a train.
You can
book it in advance and you can like, I can play on my phone, I can watch something, I can even fall asleep.
You could do something for productivity.
Someone's going to wake me up when I'm at King's Crosses, whatever. But now, when you're driving, it's like, I've literally got to battle this.
Got to stay awake to stay alive.
Yeah. It's horrible, man.
Horrible. And moaning, ranting about the job we've elected to do is how we're going to end this podcast. Because that's what parenting is. Parenting, as well, is a job we have elected to do.
It's true.
That we find solace in complaining about. But we wouldn't change it for the world. Would any of we?
Count your blessings.
Count your blessings, man. No. Your children are a blessing.
No, it's true. Because I do always have... That's how I appreciate things in life. Mm. Having horrible, dark, morbid thoughts about things.
Oh, absolutely.
And I go, okay. So whenever my kids have pissed me off, I go, there's a parallel universe out there where I'm that guy who's just sat on my sofa stroking a picture of my child because they're not there.
Because
that happens to people. Absolutely. So I'm just like, yeah, that's not me. Mm. So this kid's annoying me, but man, they're here, innit?
Absolutely. They're here, so. Give him a hug, give him a kiss on the cheek, on the forehead, and, you know, don't draw on the walls, but I'm glad you're here with me. Count your blessings.
As your kids, remember the people, as your kids jumping on your head.
Yeah.
Shout on the floor.
Little sweet chin music. Ba-bang.
Been arrested.
Yeah.
Set something on fire.
Arson.
Just remember, they're here.
And you can visit them and you can see them and you can hug them. You can call them all types of foolish, fool, quasi SM, slap them, whatever. But at least they are here. And you've got to be grateful for
Olodo.
That. Olodo. Olodo. But you can give them all of that. But, you know, this has been this is a bit emotional, man. This is a bit emotional. It's been a pleasure spending the last 2+ years, 100 plus episodes, sort of chatting, sort of laughing, ruminating, reflecting on the ups and downs of parenting, because we're new to this. I'm definitely more experienced than when we started this compared to now. But going on this journey, it's been an honor to sort of share my journey with yourself, Darren, and obviously Kazim's been an honor sharing it with him. And we'll say that in his absence as well.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to be here if he could be here.
Absolutely. So hopefully, as we've alluded to before, hopefully we can return to this in some form of capacity, because there's no beef, there's no animosity. I just want to make that click. Sometimes when something disbands or stops, it's like, who did what?
Yeah.
Who did what?
Well, when they posted this thing.
Yeah, no, there's no solidarity there. They weren't like looking at each other. No, there's actually no issue. So
there won't be any like notes.
Notes, apology, or like explanation, or my side of the story is.
Start your notes with a sigh. I guess I have to do this because
basically two twos now. So what happened was, none of that. You will still see us gigging with each other, doing our things, man. So please, if you've enjoyed any of us on the podcast, please make sure you follow our respective comedian journeys. Link will be in bio for all our sort of Instagram handles and whatnot. And thank you for your time, ears, and energy. Thank you for everyone that's actually like rocked with us for the last couple of years. We really appreciate your time. People have come out to shows based on the podcast. And I'm sure all of us on our socials still do some sort of form of parenting content anyway.
Yeah, man.
So you will still get your parenting fix from our individual pages. But thank you so much for your time. It is an energy. For one of the last times, I've been your co-host, Michael Akadiri. To the left has been...
Ask your bill payers permission. Who's that? It's me. Me is Darren G. G. G.
G. G. G. Take care and peace. God bless everyone. Take care. Oh, man.